The psalm reading today is Psalm 42, page 777 in the hymnal. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so longs my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" Things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, whom again I shall praise, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your cataracts. All your waves and billows have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night God's song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I mourn because of the oppression of the enemy? Like a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me. They say to me continually, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hoping God, again I shall praise, my help and my God.
Our second reading today comes from the Hebrew Bible, from the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and then following chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. You can find the beginning of this reading on 231 in the Hebrew Bible of your pew Bible. Hear these words. Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, I need to seek some security for you, so that it may be well with you. Now here is our kinsman Boaz, with whose young women you have been working. See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now wash and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." She said to her, "All that you tell me, I will do." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When they came together, the Lord made her conceive, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without next of kin, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became his nurse. The women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse, the father of David. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 24 through 28. It can be found on page 210 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again, as the high priest enters the holy place year after year with blood that is not his own. For then he would have had to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed to mortals to die once, and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly awaiting for him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark. Mark chapter 12, verses 38 through 44, page 46 of your pew Bible's New Testament. To set the scene, Jesus is with his disciples and a big crowd, and he's teaching in the temple. As he taught them, he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and, for the sake of appearances, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. And he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want you to think about the characters in today's scripture lessons. And as you do, I would hazard a guess that there is a bit of Naomi and a bit of the scribes in you and me. And I also believe that conversely, there's also a bit of Ruth and a bit of the poor widow in each of us as well. Today, as you know, is Veterans Day, and it is National Donor Sabbath Day. Next Sunday is Commitment Sunday. So with all of these in mind, I ask you to hold three concepts in your thoughts as well. Risk, commitment, and sacrifice. Risk, commitment, and sacrifice. Surrounding and pervading all of that, I want you to remember that Jesus loves you unconditionally and absolutely. So how is it that you are like Naomi and the scribes and Ruth and the poor widow? What gives? Well, let's think about that. Think about Naomi and Ruth. Martha Highsmith, a writer for Disciplines, says this: "Women were especially vulnerable in ancient times. Considered property of their fathers or husbands, they had no standing, no resources, no protection. A childless widow had no means of support unless her community generously supported her. Ruth and Naomi are two such widows on their own, trying to make their way in the world." Well, Naomi had watched in horror as her world had changed completely. She probably felt afraid, lost, and totally out of control of her life. From the book of Ruth, we read this: "Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to Ruth, 'My daughter, I need to seek some security for you so that it may be well with you.'" Well, maybe this is how the scribes in the Gospel of Mark were feeling as well, that they wanted to regain some control of their lives in the changing times that were surrounding them. Maybe that's why the scribes like to walk around in long robes, to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. Maybe they wanted things to be the way they had been in the good old days. I wonder if you might be able to relate to Naomi and to the scribes. Do you feel as though your world has changed completely? Do you feel afraid or lost or out of control of your own life? Do you want to regain some control of your life in these changing times surrounding all of us? Do you wish that things could be a bit more like they were in the good old days, however you might define that? Well, many of us here this morning remember a time not so long ago when this church was fuller than it is now. More families, more kids, more donors. That time when we didn't need to worry about the church budget. There wasn't so much talk about stewardship and tithing. And we wouldn't even hesitate to provide a staff salary increase. Everybody went to church, and this felt like a Christian nation. Maybe this past week's election brought even more fears to mind for you. It seems like our economy will never recover. The faces of America are changing, and it won't be too long before whites are no longer in the majority. That superstorm Sandy has us more worried about global warming than ever before. What about the war in Afghanistan and the unrest in Syria? What about legalized marijuana and gay marriage? What's going on? Can you relate to Naomi and to the scribes? Now, I want you to think about Ruth and the poor widow. Is there also a connection for you there? Ruth didn't have much in the world, but she clung to her relationship with Naomi and her relationship with God. She had her reputation and not much else, but she surely risked even that good name in society when she obeyed Naomi and offered herself, literally offered herself, to Boaz in hopes that he would take her for his wife. Her faith was well rewarded. Boaz married her, and she gave birth to a baby boy, Obed. And you heard how that story turned out. Obed was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. And through God's grace, that lineage would be fruitful and give way to Jesus of Nazareth. The poor widow in Mark's gospel was probably even more destitute than Naomi and Ruth. Just like her sisters in faith, this poor widow had an unshakable connection with God. She risked her very livelihood because of her commitment to God and to God's commandments, and so she offered those two small copper coins to the treasury in the temple. Then Jesus called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them had contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Even though she sacrificed everything she had, this poor widow trusted in God to provide." So what do you think? What do you feel about risk, commitment, and sacrifice? I want you to consider any person who has a dear friend. Consider a person who has decided to donate his or her body parts. Consider a new mother or father looking into the face of their newborn son or daughter. Consider a young man or woman who enlists in service to our country in the armed forces. Consider our brother, Jesus Christ. Surely you can relate to one of these situations. Do you see yourself somewhere among them? When you become a good friend, don't you risk your trust? Don't you make a commitment to be there when that friend needs you? Wouldn't you be willing to sacrifice your time and effort to help out that friend? If you're a mom or a dad, when you held your child for the very first time, Didn't you feel a surge of unbelievable love? I know I did. As you thought about the decades ahead, did you ever question your commitment to this little person? Is there anything you wouldn't give? Or anything you wouldn't do if your child needed it? Weren't you absolutely prepared to sacrifice everything in order to ensure the safety and happiness and success of your child? To the veterans and veteran spouses, you made a commitment to your country when you joined the armed forces. You certainly risked everything, including your very lives, when you promised to defend the freedoms and the liberty that all of us in this country enjoy. You made the promise that you would sacrifice it all if it meant that your family and your country would remain free and whole. Think about what Jesus Christ said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God has made an eternal commitment to you. God risked everything when God became flesh and came to earth as the human man, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus sacrificed everything in order that your salvation would be assured, that you might live eternal life starting right now. As difficult as it might be to hear, God is asking you to risk everything and to make that same commitment to God and to God's kingdom. God is asking you to have faith and to trust in divine providence. God won't leave you hanging. God loves you that much, unconditionally, and certainly more than you deserve. The world is changing, but God will never change. God is asking for your whole life. God is asking you to give back 10% of your money to the ministries of this church. The poor widow responded to this call with her sacrifice, and you should respond in kind. My sisters and brothers, have faith, trust in God, and love as you are loved. Amen.